your hand. Amen. So you've had a whole day of it and getting ready for more. Amen. All right. So tonight we are going back to part two of the message I preached last Sunday night. You say, what was that, Pastor? Well, I preached on there are two kinds of fillings of the Holy Spirit in your life. And last week I preached on the first filling, which was Ephesians 1:18. Perhaps you'll remember. He says there in Ephesians 1:18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. We talked about that. And tonight, we're going to talk about the second kind of Holy Spirit filling in the New Testament. And it's found in Luke 1:67, and just one illustration of it. And that is concerning the father of John the Baptist. Remember, he was dumb. That meant not that he was unintelligent, but he couldn't speak because God had taken away his voice because he didn't believe God concerning that he would have a child as an old man. His wife would have a child, John the Baptist. And Zacharias, the Bible says, when his mouth was opened, and it said in Luke 1:67, and his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying. And this is a filling that we're going to talk about tonight. I'll just say up front that that's a filling that gives power, gives you power to speak the Word of God with power, with boldness. It gives you power to witness and to speak the Word of God. Remember, the Holy Spirit is in you. He's been sent by the Lord Jesus and by the Father, and He is sent to help you to speak about Jesus and the Word of God, and He will give you boldness in order to do that. Now, last week we talked about another kind of filling, as we said, Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I said, if I came into the pulpit and I were like staggering, and I said, "Here, take your Bible and turn to," and I started talking like a drunk guy, you would say, "Pastor, you're in sin." But you know what? You're in sin, and I'm in sin if we're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Because it says in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's in the present tense. It's something that you are always, always to be doing. And just like if you're under the influence of wine or alcohol, it will lead to what we call excessive behavior. How many have ever seen a drunk and they excessively do things that cause harm? They may give away all their money. They may get involved in sexual sin. They may get involved in things, and they don't even realize they're going over the boundaries and doing things in excess that are wrecking their life and destroying their life. But because they're drunk, they don't even realize it, and they may be damaging their body by that excessive behavior. Well, that's because of the influence of alcohol. But are you under the influence of the Holy Spirit? And you say, well, how can I always, all the time, be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit is in us, and we preached on this last week. I'm not going to preach it tonight. But I'm just saying that the Holy Spirit is in us, but not everybody is under the influence of the Holy Spirit like they should be. They're not filled with the Holy Spirit so that they will do things not in excess. They'll do things that they couldn't normally do that are good, that are godly, that are right. They couldn't do those things, but the Holy Spirit will help you to do those things. Now, we said last week, in order to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you have to stop grieving the Holy Spirit. And you're grieving the Holy Spirit when you refuse to confess your sin. And you refuse to take God's side against your sin and admit your sin to God and confess it. And you can't be filled with the Holy Spirit when you have unconfessed sin in your life. We'll be taking the Lord's table next week. And the Bible says, make sure that you confess your sin. And if you don't do that, you're not going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You shouldn't wait till the Lord's table. You should do it right now. And then you can not be filled with the Holy Spirit by grieving the Holy Spirit. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5, grieve not So Ephesians, it says don't grieve the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians talks about that. And then don't quench the Holy Spirit. That's in 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5. And so you're not to quench the Holy Spirit of God. Now the other thing it says that you need to do is you need to yield to the Holy Spirit. And that means that you let the Holy Spirit have the right of way in your life. Just like if you go down the street and it says yield, you don't run out in front of that other car. You wait for that other car, let him go first. You yield the right of way to that car. Well, the same thing with the Holy Spirit. You just don't do what you want to do. You do what God wants you to do. And how do you know what God wants you to do? He's given you a copy of it right here, inspired by the Holy Spirit. So you need to live not a yielded life, but a yielding life. That means you're always to keep yielding the right of way to the Holy Spirit and put him first. I'll give you an illustration. I was this afternoon, I was thinking about watching a game. I wanted to watch a game a little bit after I did certain things. And then I said to God, what do you want me to do? And I thought, I need to go soul winning. I need to go soul winning. I made a commitment to do that. And so I called up some names and called up some people. And third name, I got Morgan and led her to the Lord. And what a blessing that was. And followed up with Brother Matthew. But I'm saying a lot of times we don't even ask the Holy Spirit. We don't even ask the Father for the Holy Spirit to guide us and to show us what he wants. You can't be filled with the Holy Spirit because you're not yielding to him. You're doing what you want to do. And the Bible says, now you got me doing it, Bobby. The Bible says, keep being filled with the Holy Spirit of God and you'll be blessed. But that is something that we already talked about, a continual filling with the Holy Spirit. But listen, tonight I want to talk about the other filling of the Holy Spirit. Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost, the Bible said, and he prophesied. So this is being filled with the Holy Spirit to be able to speak the word of God to people to affect a change in their life. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And John the Baptist's father was filled with the Holy Spirit so he could speak boldly the word of God and give prophecy concerning the Messiah, the Lord, and then concerning his son, John the Baptist. And but by the way, can I say this, that if you're not available to let God speak through you the gospel, then the Holy Spirit's not going to fill you. You see, the Holy Spirit will fill you if you're available to let God speak through your life. I'm thinking about the fact that some Christians are not available. I went to 1986. I went to my first pastor's school in Hammond, Indiana, and it was all on soul winning all week. And they had an evangelist there named Carl Hatch. And I believe one of the reasons Dr. Hiles had him there is because he was one of the greatest soul winners in the world. He was available to speak and lead people to Christ all the time. And he had so many amazing stories. And I was just amazed at the testimony of Carl Hatch and how God used him to lead people to the Lord. And I thought, what a wonderful thing it is, the people in this church that are available to go soul winning. And I got convicted at that conference that I needed to be more available to go soul winning and to be available to give the gospel to people. And I got convicted. And I got convicted that I should have more people baptized through my own soul winning than I have had. I got convicted. And I saw people that were just in that church that had many more baptisms than I had. And I thought, my, oh my. And I had to up my game. I went to the altar at the end of that week on a Friday, at the end of all week, the preaching and the testimonies. What a week it was. And I went to the altar and I yielded myself to go soul winning more. And I yielded myself for the Holy Spirit of God to fill me to do that, you know? And I believe I was, get this, right at the altar, I believe I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, what are you talking about? Well, I went back to Scranton, and I can't explain it to you, but I started giving the gospel every chance I got. I just had so many open doors, and I was ready to give the gospel to people. And you say, where did you get the power to do that? It was the Holy Spirit. He was moving me to do that. He was filling me to do that. And I was giving the gospel. And you know what? That was in 1986, in March of 1986. And you know what? For 86, for a whole decade, our church grew. And it didn't happen right away, but we started seeing people get saved, people getting baptized. By the end of that decade, in 1996, in 1 year, I mentioned it this morning, we had 276 people baptized. We had 3 bus routes going on. And we were just kind of ding-dinging along before that. And I'm just saying, you say, Pastor, what happened? I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was filling me to witness, and I had really been stirred up to make myself available for the power of the Holy Spirit to witness, and God met with me, and He blessed me in that way. And that's what we need. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And you know, some people, they want to just be filled with the Holy Spirit to feel better. They want to be filled with the Holy Spirit to be assured of their salvation. By the way, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, He gives you assurance of salvation, the highest form of assurance. But that's not what you're to seek for.
Right.
You're to seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can make a difference. You can snatch people out of the fire. You can get people saved. And sad to say, so many churches, so many pastors, so many Christians, they're not seeking this second kind of filling of the Holy Spirit. They're not seeking it. And they're not seeking to be effective soul winners. And they're not seeking the power of God to do that, my friend. And would to God that we could provoke somebody to jealousy, to provoke somebody to say, I want what they had. When I saw what Brother Hiles had, I said, I want that. It provoked me to jealousy. When I saw what those people had, I said, I want more of that. And it's no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll welcome you. It's no secret what God can do. But do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you want to have the what Moses saw? The bush was burning, but it didn't get burned up. Listen, God is looking for people. I remember Tom Williams, the evangelist, and we said, Tom, one of the guys in my dorm, Louis Konopka, he later became a pastor. He was a student in my dorm. He's a freshman there, Louis Konopka. And I was the president of the dorm, and he had come from Ohio. I'll forgive him for that. He came from Ohio, and he was there in the dorm, and we had Tom Williams in there as a young man, young Tom Williams, who was a cowboy from Texas, evangelist. And I'll never forget it. He said, Tom, he raised his hand, Louis, he said, Tom, I could set you in a room with 5, 10, 20, 100 different men, and you'll stand out. There's something different about you. Tom, what makes you different? Tom Williams goes, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. And he talked about that, and we said, you know, well, you know, why aren't more preachers like you? Why aren't they filled with the Holy Ghost? He said, I'm available to the Holy Ghost to be used. And he said, I am so busy because of that, because a lot of people aren't available. So God is using me a lot. And he's you know what? You say, well, that sounds like he's bragging. No, he was bragging on the Lord. And he stirred me up to jealousy. And I didn't have many men, frankly, that stirred me up to want what they had. I'm talking about leaders. I had Dr. Rembert Bird Carter. He said one time, I want to apologize to you students. He said, because you don't have the men like we had when I was in college that would stir you up to want more of the filling of the Holy Spirit. See, in the message last week, The Holy Spirit gets more of you. Amen. He gets more of you. This week, you get more of the Holy Spirit, more of His power to witness for Jesus Christ. And so that's what we need. We need that power of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a filling, the filling I'm talking about. Listen up real good. This is a filling that is given as it is needed to give you boldness and power to speak forth the Word of God, to penetrate people's hearts with the Word of God. You know, we got people, their hearts are hard. Amen. They got blinders on their eyes. And we need to penetrate those hearts. And the filling of the Holy Spirit gives you that boldness to speak the Word of God. And the Bible says the Word of God is what? Quick. That means alive, quick, and powerful. Amen. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In other words, the Holy Spirit of God, taking the Word of God, can show you whether you're operating in soul control, which is your personality control, or whether you are operating in the filling and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. The Word of God can do that. It can pierce down and show you if you are constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit to live the Christian life. And it can show you whether you are experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit to help you to win souls and to witness. And so this, listen to me, this is the power of the Holy Spirit so you could be an effective witness, because it's not just you witnessing, it's you witnessing, but who's witnessing with you? The Holy Ghost of God, yes. And that's why Peter said it's not only us witnessing, but it's the Holy Spirit that are witnessing as we give the Word of God. And I like what one man said about Jesus. Well, John the Apostle said, no man spake like that man. Nobody spake like that man. Why? Because he was God in the flesh. And when he spoke, the people fell backward. Now listen to me. The Holy Spirit's power in your life, when you speak and He speaks with you, it makes it different. You have a witness that is powerful, and it gets, listen, it gets down into people's hearts. And there are preachers that preach with the Holy Spirit and the help of the Holy Spirit. And listen to me, there are preachers that just preach in the letter. They just preach in word. They just preach from their soul. We need preachers that are preaching in the Holy Spirit's power. We need soul winners that are soul winning in the Holy Spirit's power. And Tom Williams used to say, I just make myself available. If I say something that people don't like, the Holy Spirit gives it to me, I'm going to say it. And I remember he said it. And he was at Baptist Bible College, and he began to speak, and he began to speak on soul winning. And he began to say things. He said, you shouldn't be teaching a Sunday school class. You shouldn't be teaching in college if you're not a soul winner and you're not leading people to Christ. And I remember the professors got mad at him. I remember the staff up there got mad at him. I remember up there a great man called Dr. Wendell Kempton. He'd hired Tom Williams to come and be the staff event. And Kempton was another guy filled with the Holy Spirit. Those two men challenged me like nobody else among adults when I was in Bible college. Of course, I was challenged by Dr. Charles Ware as a student. But I'm just saying to you, I remember that. And Tom Williams would say things that he just said, I'm available. If the Holy Spirit tells me to say it, I'm going to say it. I'm not going to hold it back. That will offend certain people. And they'll try to quench the Holy Spirit. I have people try to quench the Holy Spirit in my life. And I just determined I'm not going to let them throw cold water on the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say what He wants me to say. I'm going to do what He wants me to do by the grace of God. And Tom Williams did that. Well, you know what? He got fired. I said he got fired. They fired him. But that didn't stop his ministry. It just meant that he wasn't at Baptist Bible College anymore. But he kept going. You see, he was too hot to handle. Too hot to handle. Are you too hot to handle? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm just saying that this is the kind of filling we're talking about. It's the power to give the gospel, to give the Word of God with boldness. Listen to me. And it's power to speak it forth and to do what they did in the book of Acts. And they penetrated people's hearts. And it affected their lives. By the way, in Acts chapter 2, we see the birthday of the Holy Spirit coming down from heaven in order to begin this time of witnessing and bringing in a harvest by the power of the Holy Spirit. That happened in Acts chapter 2. And of course, when that happened, we know that the Holy Spirit from that time on permanently indwelled those believers when he came down. We know according to Romans 8:9, we know the Holy Spirit came down that he himself baptized those believers into union with Christ, into the body of Christ. And it says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. We know he did that. But he did something else. And it was prominent in the book of Acts. And it was portrayed by fire. And what was it that he did? Well, he filled them, listen to me, he filled them so that they could be effective witnesses for the risen Jesus Christ, that they could win souls to Christ and confront people with the need to be saved. I'm saying you can do that in your own power, or you can do that with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And he filled those disciples in Acts chapter 2, listen to me, to do that. And the rest is history. They went out and spoke the word of God. They went out and spoke, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and people understood them in their own languages, and many people got saved. In fact, in one day, 3,000 people got saved. That reminds me of what Jesus said in Acts 1:8. He says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I'm just saying the power of the Holy Spirit to proclaim the Word of God. That's what this filling of the Holy Spirit will do. But listen, he won't fill you if you're not willing to give the Word of God. If you say, no, I'm not going to deal with a person on that level, I'm not going to deal with people on that level, then he's not going to give you this power. It's so that you can witness and change people's lives, not just on Thursday, not just on Saturday, but throughout the week. Are you available? The filling of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? When I came back from pastor school, I had experienced this filling of the Holy Spirit. And it was real in my life. And I remember I came back to the church. We were meeting at that time in Bethel Baptist Church because we lost our building on Green Ridge. And we were meeting there and I was preaching. And I remember coming back, and Dr. Charles Ware always used to say, let the word push you to the pulpit, not the pulpit to the word. Let the word push you to the pulpit, not the pulpit to the word. And what happened to me when I came back, it was like I would have a text of scripture just leap out at me, and I would know that's what I'm to preach on. And I would do my sermon on that, and I would preach on that. And I had leaders in the church that got a little bit ruffled by what I was preaching. And they were ruffled by how I was preaching. It was different than I preached before. You think about Jesus when it said he spoke not like the scribes and the Pharisees. You know, before it was more of notes, you know, that I got from my professors or from my studies, but now it wasn't that. It was a Holy Spirit giving me the Word of God and preaching that. And I remember some people getting upset. They didn't like the change in my preaching style. I didn't like that. It ruffled some feathers. But you know what? I determined I would rather speak as one having authority from God and not as the scribes and the Pharisees. And I wanted to be more like Jesus. By the way, do you know Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit? He was filled with the Holy Spirit like we said last week. And he was filled like the Holy Spirit, like we're saying tonight, that he could speak the word of God as God gave him utterance. He was dependent on the Holy Spirit as a man. And he is our example. And so I began to do that. Now, in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit filled those original disciples to speak the word of God, what does it say? Peter was quoting from the Old Testament, and he quoted this verse from Joel. And on my servants, and on my handmaidens, Notice that, my servants and my handmaids. This filling is for men, it's for women. It's for old, it's for young. What I'm talking about tonight is for preachers and it's for people. What I'm talking about tonight is good for you. What I'm talking about tonight is needed. It is so needed today in our country. It is needed. By the way, Scranton Revival Baptist Church needs a revival. A revival of what I'm preaching on tonight. Make no mistake about it. And it says, and on my servants, on my handmaids, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, prophecy not only means to foretell, it means to forthtell the word of God, the gospel. And he's talking about by the power of the Holy Spirit, and people are going to call upon the name of the Lord, and people are going to get saved. I would say we need a revival of this kind of filling of the Holy Spirit. And there's no shame in admitting that. There's no shame in admitting that. And this kind of filling is not just a one-time filling. Okay, I got filled with the Holy Spirit at pastor school in 1986. And boy, that moved me, and it just moved our church, and we had a decade of great things. No, they were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Saw people get saved and baptized. Lives changed. But wait a minute. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, I talk about the book of Acts. You know this. It all started with prayer, right? If you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit in this way, you got to hunger for it. You got to thirst for it. You got to pray for it. And they prayed for the power of the Holy Spirit. And God answered their prayer, gave them power, and filled them. And they went out, you see, and they proclaimed the word of God with effectiveness and boldness. And what happened when they proclaimed the word of God with effectiveness? People got saved. Amen. They were cut to the heart, and they got saved. And when they got saved, they came and they got baptized, and they joined the church over. Well, what followed after that? Persecution. And when that persecution came, they were like, man, we need another filling. We feel naked. We feel empty. We feel powerless. We need to get filled. Listen, you may need to get filled again. I need to get filled again. We need the power of God. And there are different degrees of the power of God. There are different degrees of the filling of the Holy Spirit. And so in Acts chapter 4, they've been filled in Acts chapter 2. Notice what it says there. After they were put in jail, after they went through persecution, they went back to the church. And they went back to the prayer warriors in the church. And they got refilled. By the way, that's what we're doing, supposed to be doing on Wednesday night. By the way, that's what we're supposed to be doing on Saturday. Not just preaching messages, but we're to be getting filled with the Holy Spirit, getting refilled as we need it, so we can go out soul winning and make a difference. And make a difference. And so it says in Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, after they were persecuted, when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Amen? We need to shake things up. And it was shaken. You see, we got our own schedule, our own plans, our own this. We need to have what the Spirit of God wants. In the book of Acts, it was the Acts of the Apostles, but like I tell my Sunday school class, it was the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles. That's what revival is. It's the Holy Spirit moving. Get this out of my way. It was the Holy Spirit moving in mighty power and doing great things and glorious things. The Holy Spirit of God moving through these people. That's what we need again. We need a revival again. We need the filling of the Holy Spirit again. We need to be shaken up. And they were. And the Bible says, when they prayed, the place was shaken. Where they were assembled together, by the way, we're assembled tonight, amen. Would to God he shake us up tonight. Would to God he fill us with the Holy Ghost tonight. But we're filled with all this other stuff. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And they were shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Oh, we need that, my friend. I'm talking about a holy boldness that you can speak and speak directly to people the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ like they did. And we need that. And again, for you to experience this kind of filling, you've got to be willing to step out in faith and go soul winning. He's not going to fill you, listen, if you're not willing to step out in faith and go soul winning. I'll ask you a question tonight. Don't raise your hand, but when was the last time you gave the gospel to somebody? When was the last time you spoke the word of God and went through the gospel? When is the last time that you led somebody to pray to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior? When's the last time? I'm saying that this should be something that should be something that we're doing. And I'm just saying, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, He makes a difference in your life. I mentioned Tom Williams. I mentioned Wendell Kempton got Tom Williams to come to Baptist Bible. And I remember Wendell Kempton, when he would preach in the pulpit, I was like, oh man, this is going to be good. God's got something to say to me through Wendell Kempton. He'd get up there and he would start preaching, and it would go to my heart. It would go to my life. It was cutting right down inside of me. And I remember we started the church and we met at the Progressive Center down there on Olive Street. That's where we had our services. We rented the Progressive Center, Wyoming and Olive right there. And we would rent that building. We had our services. Pastor Ware was preaching. And I remember he was preaching through the book of Romans. Expository messages through Romans. But it were good, man. It was good stuff. And he was preaching. And Wendell Kempton came down. He wanted to see this church. He wanted to be there for this church. I had Wendell Kempton come down to one service, and Tom Williams came down to a prayer meeting and preached at our prayer meeting in a house. We were in a big apartment. I had both those men. But anyway, Wendell Kempton was there, and I remember seeing Wendell Kempton, and I said to him, oh, I said, Dr. Kempton, I just really appreciate your preaching. I said, you know, you really get to my heart. I said, God really blesses it. I said, you know, what is the secret of your preaching? He said, well, the Bible just says, open wide thy mouth and I'll fill it. And I thought about that, open wide thy mouth and I'll fill it. In other words, he was willing to say what God wanted him to say. He was willing. And a lot of people aren't. They're too busy for God. They're too busy to be available to God. And perhaps that's why God's not using us enough, because we're not available to God 24/7 and put Him first and yield to the Holy Spirit. And that's what Dr. Kempton said, and I praise the Lord for that. You know, you got to be willing to step out in faith. And I think of the priest in Joshua's day. The Bible said the Jordan River was flooding and they were going to go into the promised land. They didn't wait for the river to open up like with the Red Sea. No, God said, you go down and take a step of faith and step in that flood water. And when they stepped in, that water peeled back and they were able to walk across. In other words, you pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. You pray for the power of the Holy Spirit, and then you step out in faith and witness and open wide your mouth, and I believe God will fill it. But you got to open wide your mouth and be willing to do that. So you receive this filling by prayer and stepping out in faith to give the gospel. We saw that in Acts chapter 4. They got filled and filled again to give the gospel, and the gospel went forward, and God blessed. We've had gospel go forward in 86 to 96. We've seen it go forward in 2000 to 2012. I believe we're in that time, 2023. We need that not to fail. We need that to go forward. And God's looking for people that, listen, you're willing to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So, but you have to have a hunger to see people get saved. And I'd like to finish up with Luke 11. By the way, Luke wrote Acts. Go to Luke 11 and verse number 5. And I want to just give you this challenge, this parable, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Luke 11, look with me at verse number 5. Jesus is telling a parable, and I'm going to share this parable. He said unto them, because they were talking to him about praying, And here's what he said about praying. Luke 11, verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves? Now, I want to just say this. He's talking about prayer to have Holy Spirit power. What I'm preaching on. That's what I'll show you this, that's what he's talking about. And notice he's saying that you're not praying for yourself like, oh, give me 3 loaves of bread. No, you're praying for the power to give the bread of life to people, right? So that anybody's interested in food. They're interested in physical things. We have a supper. People will come to that free dinner. But how about the gospel? And he's saying here, he's going to a friend, and the friend is God, and he's going to him at midnight, and he's asking for the ability to help people feed on the gospel. And then he says, for a friend of mine in his journey is come unto me, and I have nothing to set before him. Now what this means is, if you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you have to be poor in spirit. I'm not talking about having a poor spirit. I'm talking about you got to be poor in spirit. What does that mean? You got to realize the greatness of the task and the power of God that's needed. And you've got to say, I've got nothing to give. You say, well, I got the gospel to give. Yeah, but without the power of the Holy Spirit, you got nothing to give. You see, you need that power of the Holy Spirit. And so he says, I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot arise and give thee. And what they used to do, they'd sleep in a big round bed, mom and dad in the middle, all the children, like you had, let's say I had 6 kids. I don't know how many kids. Maybe they had 9 kids. And the kids would all be sleeping around the parents. And this guy's at the door, knocking at the door. Hey, I need some bread for my friend. He's like, oh man, don't trouble me. Please stop knocking. I'm with my kids in bed. If he gets out of bed, the kids are going to scream and wake up, and baby's going to start crying. The dog is going to start barking. Oh, please don't leave me alone. Now, this is the way God is when it comes to asking him for the power of the Holy Spirit. He seems reluctant to give it. And a lot of people just back up. Oh, I prayed, I'm not going to get it. By the way, we've been having a Revival Seekers prayer meeting for a long time because I believe in this thing. But sometimes we can just go through the motions. Just do it through the motions. I'm not talking about going through the motions. This guy was serious. He wasn't just going through the motions. Oh, have enough. He was like, gotta have it. I gotta have it. I gotta have it. That's the way I was after pastor school. I gotta have it. That's your problem. You don't have to have it. I said that's your problem. You don't have to have it. You're rich and increased with goods. You've got your sports. You've got your whatever. You don't need it. But we need it. We need it. We need revival here at Scranton Revival Baptist Church. And so this guy is knocking at the door, and Jesus said, that's the way you got to be with God. He tries to send him away. He says, I can't do it. And he says, the guy just keeps knocking. He will not be sent away. He said, Jesus said this, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because are we not friend of God? Are we not in the family of God? That's not enough to get the Holy Spirit's power. I said that's not enough. You have to have importunity. He said importunity. What is importunity? Shameless, persistent begging for the power of God. And I say unto you, ask. And the word there is in the present continuous tense. Ask and keep on asking. He says seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. If you do that, he said, it will be open to you. Everybody that does that. And then he ends this up and he says, if you ask for bread from a father, he's not going to give you a stone. If you ask for a father for fish, he's not going to give you a serpent. If you ask for an egg, he's not going to give you a scorpion, you know. He's going to give you what you ask for. Now, what does he say to ask for? He ends it up. He says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now, you're already indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But we're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit to penetrate lives and to make a difference so that lives are changed. I believe this is what God is saying to us that we need here at Scranton Revival Baptist Church. This is what we need. And I want to challenge you with these two kinds of fillings. Keep on being filled so that you can live a Christ-like life, and keep on seeking the refilling of the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can not just have the fruit of the Spirit, but we can have the fruit of new disciples whose lives are penetrated. And I noticed in the book of Acts, when these guys preached, it says people were cut to the heart. Either they gnashed on them with their teeth, or they kissed them and said, "Thank you, I want Jesus." But they had a reaction. May God give us a reaction. Preachers, preach, don't get a reaction, for good or for bad. Soul winners go out, need a reaction. May God give you the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We've been talking about